We're on page 450. Okay, I think that before we actually learn some of the psukim we learned, but in order to understand the menorah, because the menorah is a very interesting keli in the Beis Hamikdash. Well, everybody has, I hope, the picture. This is not the Rambam's drawing of the menorah, but this is based on the Rambam's drawing of the menorah. That obviously the way the Rambam drew it was much cruder than this, computerized. But this is the way the menorah was according to the Rambam and also according to Rashi. Now that's completely way off.
This is true. The menorah isn't in Rome.
They say the menorah is in Rome, but they're not sure. Because so the Romans did, when they destroyed the second Beis Hamikdash, they did take some of the kelim back to Rome. But they don't know if the menorah was one of them or not one of them. It's not exactly sure.
The Romans know. The Vatican knows.
Yeah, the question is, we know if they have the menorah or not. Obviously, you're not going to go see it. I mean, they're not going to open it up in the museum. That's for sure. Okay, so now, you know what? Let's see the psukim inside. Let's see the psukim inside, then we'll go through the picture, and then when we learn the psukim again, everything will make sense. So the pasuk, page 450, pasuk lamed aleph. The pasuk says like this: Vasisa menorah zavtar. You have to make the menorah out of pure gold. Miksha tiyasa menorah, like we learned, it has to be hammered out of one piece. In other words, it wasn't piecework that they stuck together through welding it or soldering it on. It was one block of gold, 150 pounds. Like we learned, the key card was 150 pounds. And they took that one piece. Teyasa Meneda, the Meneda will be made. And like we learned, what that means is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to make the Meneda. Hashem said, you know, just throw it into the fire and out will come in the Meneda. Therefore, it says, not Ta'asa. Ta'asa means you should make. Teyasa means it should become made. Yerecha Vekana. This is all one piece of gold beat out like this. I mean, it was a very difficult thing to do. But they did it. Okay. Yerecha v'kana, its base, its shafts, gviya kaftireh, its cups, its knobs, its blossoms, and we're going to see exactly what each one of these things are. Mimeno yihiyu should be from this one piece of gold itself. So there's one piece of gold that they beat out, the base of the menorah, the branches of the menorah, the bulbs, the flowers, the cups, that's all the designs of the menorah. All that was made from one piece of gold. Then the Torah says, V'shisha kanim yetim yitzidel. Six branches come out of the middle shaft of the menorah. Now if you look at the picture, you have six branches. The middle branch is actually called the base of the menorah. The menorah itself is the middle pole going from top to bottom. The branches, the Torah calls the six branches coming out of the middle shaft. Okay? That's why the Torah says, Shisha konim yetim mitzideho. Six branches go out from its sides. Shloisha knei menera mitzideho echad. Three branches come out of the right, one side, meaning the right side. Ushloisha knei menera mitzideho sheni. And three branches of the menera come from the other side, meaning from the left side. Shloisha gevim. And here we'll just go through the psukim quickly, and then we're going to discuss it. Shleishi gavim, three cups, meshukadim, engraved like almonds. In other words, they were beat out. Okay, we'll see. I want to go through the whole thing together. Bakona echad in one pole, kafta v'ferach, a button and a flower. Ushleishi gavim in three cups, meshukadim bakona echad kafta v'ferach. In other words, the Torah is describing what each branch had. Each branch had three cups, one bulb or blossom, as it's called, and one flower. Okay? That's what each branch had. Ken yi al sheshes hakonim, so it should be for the six branches, hayetzim min ha-menorah, that come out of the menorah. Okay? Now that you have the picture, look at the picture. Okay? Now, everything here is numbered A, B, C, D. Okay, so it's a very clear picture. We didn't finish learning them in the inside yet, but let's discuss the menorah based on the picture. If you look at the bottom, where it says A, Okay, A is the feet of the menorah. Now, even though the Mefarshim explained, the Torah does not speak that the menorah had legs. The Torah just speaks about the base of the menorah. Nevertheless, the Chachamim, for whatever reason, knew that the menorah had three legs. And that's what you see in A. Okay, A was the 3 feet of the menorah. There were actually, the menorah was standing on a 3 foot besides the base. B, as you can see, that's the base of the menorah. Okay, that's basically Yerecha, the bottom of the menorah. Now, above B goes to C. Now, C is what the Torah calls here Ferach. Ferach is a flower. It depends in Diktuk. You have to ask the Israelis who don't know Diktuk. Sometimes it's Perach, sometimes it's Ferach. It's the same word. Right. It depends where in the Pasuk and what in the Kudus are there before or after. Don't ask me, I don't know Diktuk. But that's the story. Okay. If you see in the Chumash, by the way, it's Vaferach always. Vafarach, Vaferach. Depending what the...
Because of the Vav. But if it's just Perach by itself, it's just Perach.
Right, very good. See? Without the Vav, it's Perach. With the Vav, it's Ferach. Trust me, it doesn't matter for the Menorah. Now, the Menorah had different designs. There was a flower. There was a cup. Okay? And then there was the, as we'll see, the bulb. Okay? Now, Kaftar is the bulb. Now, if you see on the menorah, look on even the middle shaft of the menorah. You see C is like a little bit of a design, a roundish design. That was the flower. That's the perach. Then you also had, if you look at, in middle of the menorah, you had the three round balls. Okay? That is called the kaftor. Now, the Rambam, in Pirush Mishnah, in the Rambam, learns that they were not exactly round, even though the picture they look round. But the Rambam says they were more oval shaped, like an egg. In other words, it wasn't exactly a rounded kaftor. It was round, but it was a little bit oval shaped. And then you had the gevim. Now, if you look on each branches, like for instance, where it says the letter M, okay, M has a 3 gevim. Now, the Rambam defines them as Alexandrian type of cups. But the Rambam, in the way he has the picture, they're upside down. The way the Alexandria cups were, they were narrow at the bottom, and they were wide on top. Those were the type of cups they had in Alexandria, Egypt. Now, so therefore, the definition of Gevia, according to the Rambam, was a cup that was wide on top and narrow at the bottom, like a drinking cup. Except if you look when it was on the menorah, it was upside down. Okay? And the Mefarshim explain, why was the gevir on the menorah upside down? Because the Torah wants to show you have to give rather than take. The menorah was giving light, not taking light. Like we said, the windows in the Beis Hamikdash were made in a way that the light went out to the world. So the same thing, this is the reason they say, in their spiritual sense at least, why the Gevim were upside down. You have the pictures there? Okay. Because the Torah wants to show that you have to give, be mashpia, pour out, rather than take in. So you had like this. You had the real base, the shaft of the menorah. The shaft of the menorah is the middle pole of the menorah, because then you had 6 branches. But the Torah calls the branches the Knei HaMenorah, the branches of the menorah. And the Torah refers to the middle shaft as the menorah itself. Now, if you look at, based on the picture, you have the bottom. What?
What letter is that? The I?
J.
The shaft?
Yeah.
No, the J is an empty tefach.
No, that's the shaft.
The whole middle pole from top to bottom is the shaft.
That's J.
It's not really J, because J is just the how much space was there between the bulbs.
That's an L. Then it's L.
No, also it's an empty. There's no letter for it here. There's no letter for it. The letters that you're going to. Let's go slowly. The letters you're going to see is the Rambam discusses not only the design of the menorah, but how much space was between each design. Okay, and the letters that you have, like F or D or those, it's the space between one thing and the next. Okay? But the whole middle shaft, okay, of the menorah is called the menorah. Now, the Pasuk says, Uvam Neira in Pasuk Lamedalid, the Pasuk says, Uvam Neira Arba Gevim. The menorah itself had four cups. Now, where do you have four cups on the menorah itself? Remember, what are the cups? The upside down wine glasses, okay? So you have three on top. You see, you have three on top. And then, closer to the bottom, if you look where E is, E, the bottom of E, is the fourth cup. Okay, so the Torah is saying that on the middle, I'm going in a different order than the Chumash is, but on the middle shaft of the Menorah, there were four Gevim, and Kafter under the two branches that came up, and Kafter Tachashin Akademi Mena, meaning like this. You see where the three the round balls are? Which over here in the letters, it's called I. Okay? You see I? I is a bulb, a hand breadth in size. That means the kafter itself, this round ball that was oval, was a tefach big. Now you see where each branch came out of the menorah? There was a kafter. There was this
bulb.
It's called in English a bulb. Okay? So there were three bulbs where each one of the branches came out. So in other words, there was a bulb, and a branch came out from it, and another branch came out from the other side. By the way, some people differ with the Rambam, or they argue what the Rambam means. According to this picture, the branches came out of the bulb. Right? Some Mefarshim learn in the Rambam that that's not what he means. It means it came out from on top of the bulb. See, in this picture, the bulb is in the middle and the branches are coming out from the bulb. Some Mefarshim of the Rambam learn that the branches came out on top of the bulb. Not from the actual bulb, but like a little bit on top of the bulb. But it really doesn't matter. So the base of the menorah had as follows. You had three bulbs where the three branches came out of. Then if you go all the way to the top of the shaft, right beneath where the oil was, there was another bulb. And then all the way where E is at the bottom, there is also a bulb. So according to this, on the central shaft of the menorah, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bulbs. Okay? Four cups, right? Four of the upside down cups. Five bulbs. And then you also had the flowers. So you had C was a flower. Then you had one of E was a flower. And then you had on top, which is called O, is also a flower. So there are three flowers. Okay, this is what the Torah is discussing about the middle shaft of the menorah. Now, each branch of the menorah, if you notice, each branch of the menorah had three cups. Okay? N, which is again a bulb, and O, which is the flower.
The cups were really inside each other. No,
they weren't.
They weren't?
No, they didn't go inside each other. It's like when one cup ended, that's when the higher one began.
Not like this?
No. This picture is, I don't know. This is, not only is this the Rambam's opinion, I don't know what this is. You know what I mean? It's not wrong, because it also has three-legged bases. It has the whole things. But then P, which is on top of the menorah, that you have the wick holders. Okay, so that means the picture is very clear of exactly how the menorah went according to the Rambam. But according to the Psukim, just to get the definitions of the things straight, the central shaft of the menorah from top to bottom is called the menorah. Then you have the branches of the menorah. Then you had, each one had certain designs. There were three designs. There were the cups, called gevi'im. You had a kaftar, which was the round ball. And farach was something that looked like a flower. Now the pasuk says that the gevi'im were meshukadim. Meshukadim mean embossed, but the mefarshim learn, a lot of mefarshim learn that it looked like shkedim, which are almonds. That means almonds don't have a smooth outside skin, it's a little bumpy.
Almond?
Yeah.
Almonds are
meat? Yeah. Oh.
This looks like more like an ice cream cone than almond, if you ask me.
The outside of it.
No, no, no.
He's talking about the texture.
The texture of it. The texture of it didn't look like almonds. But almonds are like a little rough,
yeah.
Like it's a little bumpy.
Right.
So the gold, they beat out the cups. It looked like a cup. But the texture of it was a little bumpy. It wasn't smooth. And that's why the Torah calls them Meshukadim, which means two things, embossed. And embossed how? Like Shkedim, like almonds. Meaning it was a little bumpy, rather than... So each branch had exactly the same thing. Three cups, bulb, and flower. Okay? Now, on each branch, the three cups, the bulb, and the flower, if you look on the right one, on the right side, and the right branch, you have M, which is the three cups, N, which is the bulb, and O, which is the flower. And on top of that, that's the wick holder that they put the oil into, and, you know, and the wicks and so on. Now, that 1 second. The height of the menorah, it doesn't say anywhere in Chumash, the height of the menorah. But Rashi brings it down in Chumash, and the Gemara discussed, the Rambam brings it down. The height of the menorah was 18 tefachim. Now, tefach is between 3 and 4 inches. So 18 times 3 is 54, or 18 times 4 is... 72. So it's either 72 inches high, or if you hold the lesser opinion, that is 3 inches of tefach, it was 54 inches.
And that's 6 feet.
It was approximately 6 feet high, the menorah. Now, the Mefarshim say, where do we know that it was 18 tefachim? So we know this halacha l'mashim esin, that's what Hashem said, because in Chumash it doesn't say anywhere, just like it doesn't say there are 3 feet to the menorah. Okay? But they say, because it says in the Chumash, v'zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. In the beginning of Parshas Va'loischa, the Torah says, v'zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah, this is the way the menorah should be made. The word v'zeh, vav, zayin, hey, equals 18. So they say, not as a source, but where do you find a hint that the menorah was 18, tefachim, 54 inches to 72, approximately, let's say, between 5 and 6 feet, approximately, the menorah was. So, that is from the word vizeh. What?
I was reading in the Parsha of Korach, that from the letter of the Rebbe, that when the Kohen Gadol was lighting the menorah, the whole assembly was like
elevated.
Elevated. What is
in spiritual sense. Spiritual sense. That's why it said, Baha Leischa.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't say bahadlok, bah whatever. It doesn't use the word hadlaka.
Uh-huh.
It used bahalaischa.
The
right. So, by the way, the fact that it says by halaischa saneris, it uses the word aliyah 3 times. He'elo aneirisel, uses the word aliyah 3 times. From there, they learn that the kohen, when he went to light the menorah, there was a stool with 3 steps on it. So they say, why did the stool have 3 steps on it? Because it says 3 times the word aliyah in reference to the menorah, so he goes up 3 times, 3 steps to be able to kindle the menorah. Even though if you think about it, I mean, if the menorah is between 5 and 6 feet tall, you really did need steps to go up to light the menorah. You can stand and just pick up your hand a little bit and light the menorah. But nevertheless, the fact that the Torah says Baal Leischa parenthetically, you know, when somebody gets called to the Torah, it's called Aliyah L'Torah. Okay, why is it called he got an Aliyah? In the physical, halachic sense, the reason why you get an Aliyah L'Torah, because in the olden times, the Shulchan, you had to go up steps to do it, to go up. If you ever look in the Gemara, when the Gemara speaks about the Chazan, or in Shulchan Aruch, when it speaks about the Chazan, there's always an expression, Yored Lefnei HaTeva. It's Aliyah L'Torah, but Yored Lefnei HaTeva, he goes down. So it says, what's the explanation of that? Because in the olden times, the Chazan stood lower than everybody else. That means the Shul would go down in a way that the Chazan was lower than everybody else. Why? Because David HaMelech says in Tillim, Shiramalis mi ma'amakim korasicha Hashem, from the depth, Omek is depth, from the depth I call out to you. So therefore the Chazan used to be lower, and Aliyah L'Torah, because the Shulchan used to be on a platform, so he has to go, push it in simple sense, Aliyah L'Torah, you had to go up to the Torah, and to the Omek, you went Yoyed L'Fnei HaTeva. In the spiritual senses, when a Jew gets an Aliyah, they become elevated. So therefore, even if the Shulchan's not higher, it's still called Aliyah L'Torah, because you become elevated by going up to the Torah. So when Aaron kindled the Menorah, it was Baal Leischa, he elevated himself, the Jews, everybody else together.
This was solid gold?
This was pure brick of gold.
Even the bulbs?
Everything. Solid. We're going to soon see... There's two opinions if it applies to the tongs and the tweezers and all that. But according to all opinions, this, everything here, everything, and this thing is one piece of gold. That's for sure. The Torah says, Miksha, we'll see in the Pesukim, the Torah says it again clearly, that you shouldn't think that some of these things are separate. The Torah is going to emphasize again, this is all beat out of one solid brick of pure gold. And last time we mentioned, it weighed 150 pounds.
So nobody can lift it.
First of all, they didn't have to lift it. I mean, when they traveled...
Weighed how much?
150 pounds. First of all, when they traveled in the Mishkan...
Who was limited?
The Levium, two people can pick up, or three people can pick it up. Mm-hmm. And they weren't afraid it was going to break because it was one piece. Solid gold. So there was no... There was no problem, so to speak. Obviously, I don't think anybody could pick up himself 150 pounds.
What was the spiritual ascendance of the Jewish people at that point?
He kindled the Menorah. We're going to see later, after he finished the physical Menorah, we're going to see that various things in the Menorah corresponded with the first pasuk of each Chumash.
Of what?
Of each Chumash. How many letters are in Bereishis Baruch Kim Asa Shemayim Vasaret? How many words are in Veilah Shemayis Bnei Yisrael Bar Mitzrayimah? How many psukim are words in the or letters in the words? I'm sorry, in the cups and the flowers and the things all correspond with psukim and chumash, because the Menorah, which was Or, is Torah Or. So the Menorah resembles the concept of Keser Torah. If you remember, we learned. Not Keser Torah, but because the Ordin was Keser Torah. But it represented the concept of Torah Ord, and therefore we'll learn why there's seven branches. Everything has its spiritual meaning that the Midrashim explained. But I first want to get through the physical plate now. If you see in the picture, I don't have to go like this, you have your own pictures. If you see, for instance, D and F, okay? It's explained in D and F, between the flower of C and the cups of E, the bottom of the cup of E, was a space of two tefachim. So D was an empty space, meaning it was just the pure Menorah without any design. Then between E and G, which is F, is again two empty tefachim.
So the inside of that metal was empty, the holding?
It wasn't hollow, it was solid gold.
You just said it was empty.
No, empty without designs.
No flowers, no cups.
Oh,
no.
Okay. I thought they...
And H, if you see H, yeah, is a one tefach. So sometimes there were two tefachim between designs, Sometimes there was one tefach. For instance, between each kaftar, between each bulb,
it's one tefach.
Is one tefach. And beat F and D were two tefachim. So if you count everything together, you're going to get to 18 tefachim. That's the cheshbon how it comes to the 18 tefachim. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you didn't answer that, but the opinion of the difference of the round and the commission, this one is whose opinion?
This one is Rashi and Rambam, that it was diagonal. Rashi says clearly it was went ba'alachsen. Okay, Rashi says it clearly here. If you look, and Pasuk Lamed Beis in Rashi, doesn't want to see, Yeitzim Mitzideha, when the Pasuk speaks about the branches coming out of the sides, Rashi says, Lekan ulekan ba'alachsen. Ba'alachsen in Hebrew means diagonal. And that's the way the Rambam has it. Now, they bring down where does this come from, because in the Arch of Titus, it's rounded, and they say it could be, they made it that way because that's the artist saw it that way or whatever. But one thing the Rebbe explains, that if you have a choice of doing it the way the Rambam writes, or Rashi writes to do it, or the way the Titus gate has it, why should you pick the Titus gate of round if you could do it the way Rambam Rashi says that it was diagonal?
So there's no opinion?
There is. I believe Devin Ezra holds that it was round. But many of the opinions say it was balachs, and that's what Rashi says, Rambam says, and others say that it was diagonal. Okay, so now that we saw the picture and we got it more or less clear, let's start again from the beginning quickly of Lamed Aleph, and we'll see the way the Torah describes the way these... There's more pictures if anybody needs. Anybody need these pictures? Okay. Okay. Now, let's start again quickly, Lamed Aleph, and we'll see now with the picture, we can understand the way it works. Vasisa Menera Zav Tardi, you have to make a Menera out of pure gold. Miksha, beat out of one piece, Yasa Menera. Yerecha Vekana. Yerecha, like Rashi says, Yerecha is the foot at the bottom, which is made like a box. In other words, in the picture, it's B. Kafteirel Fracheha, its bulbs and its flowers, mimeno yihia, everything should be made from this one piece of gold. Okay? Shisha kanam yetim mitzidau, 6 branches come out of the side of the menorah. Shlosha kne menorah mitzidau echot, 3 branches from one side of the menorah. Shlosha kne menorah mitzidau sheni, 3 branches of the menorah from the other side. So on the right side there were 3 branches of the menorah, 3 branches to the left. And the middle one, like we said, is called the actual menorah. Shleishi Gavim, now he's going to discuss what you have on each branch. Not on the middle shaft, but on each branch. Shleishi Gavim, 3 cups, and like we learned, the Rambam explains it to me, Alexandria, Egypt, wine drinking cups.
What page are you on?
450. Mishukadim embossed, looking like almonds. Bakana Echad on one pipe, on one pole. Kafta Veferach, a flower and a bulb. That means each branch, the Torah says, has the 3 cups, like you see, letter M, and the bulb, which is letter N, and the flower, which is letter O. And then the Torah says, and then the other branch also like that. So the Torah says clearly that each branch of the menorah had 3 cups, 1 bulb, and 1 flower. Again, in the picture, it's M, N, and O, if you look on the right branch. Now, Uva Meneira, how about on the Meneira itself, meaning the central shaft, our Bogvim were 4 cups. So the 3 are on the top of the central shaft, right? And then there's 1 at the bottom, at the end of letter E. The letter E, they included 3 things: cup, bulb, and flower. Okay? So on the actual menorah itself, you had 4 cups. Mishukadim also, kafteirel frachel, also embossed the bulb and the flowers. Now Rashi says, and the Rambam says, and here's an interesting thing. A lot of times you know what the Torah is saying by the trop of the word. By this, you know, the way the Balkari reads it, sings it. Now, the Torah over here uses the word Meshukadim. Meshukadim here could be defined both, can go both ways. It could be Arba Gvi Meshukadim, or it could be Meshukadim Kafteira of Rachel. The Meshukadim is its own trop, its own Negina. So it can go before, or it can go after. And we don't know, they say, what it means. So some of Oshim learned, that's why they made it both ways. They embossed, like almonds, not only the cups, but even the flowers and the bulbs. Now, the kafter and the button, tacha shnei akonim imena, underneath two branches, and this is what the Rambam, what the Pasuk is saying is, if you look at the letter I, or the letter K, or the letter G, is the button that goes under the two branches. And it's interesting, the Pasuk says the bulb was under the branches. But the way that Rambam drew the picture, the branches are coming out of the bulb. And that's why he said there's two ways even to learn according to the Rambam himself. And one button under the two poles. For all the branches that came out of the Meneda. So basically what the Torah is saying now in this Pasuk is that K, I, and G are the bulbs in the middle shaft of the Meneda that the branches came out of. Either under it or from it or whatever. Then the Pasuk continues in 452. And here what the Torah again explicitly says, that the bulbs and the poles, mimeno yiyu, were from the same piece of gold, kula miksha acha zahav tor. It was all banged out of this one piece of gold. Meaning, the pole, the branches of the Meneda, the bulbs, the round bulbs of the Meneda, were all one piece of gold. Everything was banged out of that. Okay? Then the Pasuk continues and says, Vasisas Nereseha Shiva, you make the candles seven, meaning on top of each branch, and that's the letter P, all the way on top, as you can see. Okay, it has it only on the right side, but it refers to each top with seven candles. Vehelo es Nereseha.
But that's not the flower?
One second, you should kindle the... No, this is on top of the flower. The place for the wick and the oil.
On the top of the flower.
Right. Flower right. Flower is O. Flower is O and P is on top of O. Behelos nereseha, and you should kindle the lights. Beheir el ever panel, and it should be facing the middle one. Now, if you notice in the picture has it, if you look at the top of the Meneda, each one of the wicks, you notice that the wicks are also facing the middle one. All the wicks on top of the Meneda are facing the middle one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Which, according to certain opinions, the middle one was called the Ner Ma'aravi, the most western one. Some of Farshim learned the menorah, which was on the one that was on the most western side, was the western one. But the way we're learning now in the Chumash, the middle Meneda, in the middle central shaft of the Meneda, is called the Ner Ma'aravi, and all the wicks faced towards the middle. Okay, that's the way it was made up.
He's the king.
Huh?
The middle one is the king.
Well, because the middle one was the Meneda itself, so they're all facing the Meneda.
Is there more respect?
No more respect. We'll see the whole concept over here. Okay. U'malkecheo machteseo zohav tohor. Then the Pasuk says like this, the tongs, because when they needed to take the wicks out of the Meneda, when they changed the wicks, right? Now how did they change the wicks? They needed tongs to pull out. So that also had to be made out of gold. And the spoons, they had like spoons to clear out the ashes. Because when you burn something down, you need the wick to take, the tongue to take out the wick, and then you have to clean out the ashes. So the Torah says you needed tongs, and you needed spoons. They weren't big spoons, little, you know, spoons to shovel up the ashes. Zahav Tor was also made out of gold. Kikar Zahav Yasa Esa Eskola Kelamela. That means the measurement of the kikar was everything together. But most Mefarshim learn that the spoons and the tongs were not beat out of the same piece of gold. Because if yeah, they would be connected to the Meneira, they wouldn't be practical to be used.
Yeah, so who made this Yasa?
The what?
Who's doing this Yasa?
Whoever makes it. Whoever was the one Yasa means it should be made. He should make it. The Torah doesn't say who. No, he's talking about making the Meneira. But Salo was in charge of the construction. He was the foreman. Right, by the way, Bezalel was a little kid. He was under Bar Mitzvah when this happened. Bezalel was, when he was in charge of making the Mishkan, he was a little kid. He was under Bar Mitzvah. Because Bezalel, if you just make a cheshbon, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur, who is Miriam's son. So Miriam had a son Chur, who had a son Uri, who had a son Bezalel. Now, when this was going on, Miriam was 85 years old.
Wow.
And this is her great grandson. How old could he be already?
Talking about Moshe's sister, right?
Yes. Mrs. Kalev.
Okay. Well, when you gifted you.
Miriam married Kalev. Ben Yefuna was Mr. Miriam. Rabbi Miriam.
Chur died. Chur was killed, no?
Chur was killed by the eagle, but this is before the eagle, meanwhile. So they say, Bezalel, I think the Mamluz brings it down, the first brings it down. I think it was eight years old or 9 years old when he was in charge of the Mishkan.
Responsible kid.
Responsible kid. Okay, so it says all these things that to take out, to clean out the ashes and so on, and it had to be exactly a kikod. And then the pasuk just concludes, go look and do b'tavnisam in the image that you were shown on the mountain. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu still didn't understand the Meneira, how to make it. And Moshe Rabbeinu was shown by God first the Meneira Shalesh, and he still didn't get it. And finally Hashem, the Medrash says three things happened. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a menorah fire, because Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get it. We'll soon learn what he couldn't get. But Hashem showed him a fiery Meneira. He said, you see, look, I'm showing you on the mountain, this is what you got to do. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I still don't get it. So finally Hashem said to him, you know what, just throw the gold into the fire, and the Meneira came out. So it was actually stages.
Where did the gold come from? The gold, is it from all
the women,
ladies contributed?
Or? Everybody contributed to the Meneira. The men, women, everybody contributed. Everybody was part of every aspect of the Mishkan.
They took gold with them from Egypt, no?
They took gold from Egypt. They had a lot of...
They have a lot of gold in Egypt.
But the Jews emptied out Egypt. What they have now is all new stuff. Okay, now, just to discuss a little bit... So he brings down like this. Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa holds, that the Meneira and the Neiris, you know, everything together was one kikar, and that's what the Pasuk says, miksha. But the tongs and the spoons were not miksha. Okay, they weren't at all in the kikar. That when the Torah says kikar, it doesn't even mean the tongs and the spoons. The Torah says, eskola kelim ha'ele, all the kelim that we just read in the pasuk, he says he means the menorah itself, but not the tongs and the things. And then he says, and Ibn Chemya says, Shemishkala kikar, he says, was only the guf of Meneira without the Neiris and the Malchus and Mokachayim. In other words, he says even the Neiris, but that already, we don't paskin like that. That we say already was, now, the branches of the Meneira, they bring down, it says this, the Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel writes that even the branches were not hollow. Nothing in the Meneira was hollow. It was solid gold through and through. Even the branches of the Meneira were solid gold. There was not any, like, because normally the definition of a kana a pole in Hebrew means basically that inside it's hollow. It's hollow inside. But here they write, it wasn't hollow, it was smamish full of gold. Okay, now, Moshe Rabbeinu brings down, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand it until Hashem showed him a fiery thing in the heavens, and then he still didn't understand it, and then Hashem showed him, throw it into the fire and finish. Okay, before we go into the spiritual aspect of the Meneira, he brings on over here from the Yalkut Raveni. So it's a very interesting connection of the Meneira to Chumash. And like we said, the Meneira is Or, Torah Or, so it all represents the concept of Chumash. Now, how many branches were there, including the middle one? Seven. That corresponds with the seven words in the Pasuk, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Es HaShemayim Ve'es HaOretz, is seven words. First Pasuk of Chumash. So that corresponds with the seven branches of the Meneira. Now, throughout the Meneira, they had 11 bulbs. The Kaftar was 11, if you count. How many in the middle and how many each side was 11? That corresponds with the Pasuk in Shmeis. Ve'ele Shmeis b'nei Yisrael aboyim Yitzrayma eith Yaakov ish u'beisi bo'u. The first Pasuk of Chumash Shmeis has 11 words. So therefore, in the Meneira, there are 11 bulbs. Then he says, now, the height of the Meneira, I'm sorry, nine flowers, if you count how many flowers there were in the Meneira, there were nine. So if you count the Pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra,
plus two at the bottom.
Plus two at the bottom. So there were nine flowers corresponding with the nine words at the first Pasuk of Vayikra. So the first Pasuk of Vayikra has nine words. Then he said like this, the Meneira was 18 Tvachim high, but he says, one Tefach, the way they make the Chesh, wasn't a complete Tefach, so therefore there were really 17 full Tvachim. That corresponds with the 17 words in the beginning, the first Pasuk of Chumash Bamidbar. Okay? And the 28 cups correspond with the 28 words in the Pasuk Eila HaDvarim. So all the Meneira and the designs of the Meneira, everything corresponded with the level of Chumash in each one of the five Chumashim. Now, there's a very practical halacha, by the way, which applies today. There's a pasuk later on in Chumash that says you're not allowed to make replicas of the utensils of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, the Rambam writes, even though the Torah over here says you have to make it out of gold, but the Rambam, the Gemara, learns that when they, there are many times in history, like for instance when the Jews came to build the second Beis Hamikdash, after they came up of Golus, in the days of Ezra, the Jews were broke. They didn't have this much gold to make a Meneira. So the din was, you're allowed to make a Meneira out of any metal.
Copper. Rabbi?
Yeah?
Is it not 22 instead of 28?
I just did the same thing.
What?
Elu Devarim,
Elu. There's 22 of those.
3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is 21. 22.
Because Elo Devarim
also
is 22.
And Devarim is also 22. I just trusted the guy here. No, then it's 22. I'm sorry. Okay, so it's 22, no? But it's right, the concept of it. Just the number is wrong. But it's 22 and 22, no? Okay. Correct.
I'm doing math.
I'm going to make a good note on your report card. You show it to your kids. I'll give you a star. You'll get a star. Okay, now there's a din. So obviously the din was that you're allowed to make a Meneira out of any metal. And then the din was when they got rich, they had to make it out of gold again. And by the way, all these dinim that it had to be beat out of one piece and all the designs on the Meneira was only when it was made out of gold. If the Meneira wasn't made out of gold, it was made out of copper or tin or whatever, you can make it not out of one piece, you didn't need all the designs and so on.
So all the seven branches,
and the Meneira was always seven.
And
Chanukah is 8. Menorah is 7. Yeah, but Chanukah is higher than the Beis Hamikdash. I'll explain this in a second. So it says, you're not allowed to make any copies, any replicas of the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, it says in Shulchan Aruch, and many people don't know this halacha, you're not allowed to have a metal candelabra of 7 candles, even if it's in a different shape, even if it's in a different shape than the Beis Hamikdash is one. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a din.
Can you repeat?
In Shulchan Aruch, there's a din. When it speaks in Yoredei, there's a din that you're not allowed to make replicas of the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. So you're not allowed to have, it says, you're not allowed to have, he brings it down over here also.
No gold spoon, no gold tongue.
The menorah you can't make. Dome le menorah b'shivas hakadim, even though it's not out of gold, even if you didn't make the designs on it, even though it's not 18 tefachim high, even though it's not a replica of the Beis Hamikdash, but the fact that in the Beis Hamikdash it was kosher to have such a menorah without all the designs in gold, it's forbidden to do it. Now, that's only if it's 7. You can have 5, you can have 8, you can have 9. So, a lot of times, people that have menorahs, your Shabbos candles I'm talking about, if you have 5 kids and you're two parents, it's 7. So many people have a 7 branch candelabra, which is not such a, aloch is very questionable. By the way,
there's no kaftor and gold and flour.
No, he says even not because
even if just
because when the menorah and the Beis Hamikdash was made out of copper, it didn't have all this stuff. All the stuff was only when it was made out of gold.
In the
right. No, even the Beis Hamikdash. I said the second Beis Hamikdash, they had, it was made out, yeah, it was made out of copper. Then later they got more money, so then they remade it out of gold.
But it's
8.
Ah, it's the 7 that is...
I said the number 7 branches is the definition of a kosher menorah.
Okay.
So therefore, a person is not allowed to do it.
So the second Beis Hamikdash, it wouldn't have been necessarily the same shape as the first one. It didn't have the miracle of the creation, or...
What?
I mean, the first time it says Hashem kind of did a miracle and it came out that way. What happened in the second?
Then they made it. They saw what it was. It was easier to... I mean, they knew... From what it was, that was allowed.
This halacha, is it only if it's functional? Let's say you have like a model.
No, a model, a little one is not. Only if it's functionable, usable one. He says, like, V'yash menorah gedolah shel shiva kanim, tzrichim ladas, im yesh shiva kanim, hanimshach miguf ha-menorah, it's isegomor. Avom ein lo zrayis, meaning it doesn't come out of the menorah itself, then maybe it's mutter. But even that is it's questionable in halacha. So sometimes when people have a menorah, you buy in the store like a menorah of 7, they'll take the middle one and they'll put a design into it to make it 6 instead of 7.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But it's a questionable thing. It's a boshit in halacha, gnardei, kumtsim kuf memalef. Discusses the whole thing about making replicas of the Beis Hamikdash. What you love. The most practical one is a menorah, because that's what people use today for Shabbos candles. You have a menorah. Now, the menorah, as we said, the 7 branches of the menorah represent a lot of aspects in the number 7. It represents the 7 different types of Jews. There are 7 midos, right? There's love and fear, chesed, gvura, teferes, netzach, and yesed. There are Jews that serve God out of love. There are Jews that serve God out of fear. And the menorah represents the seven days of the week, but it also represents the 7 different ways that a Jew serves God. And Aaron HaKohen was the one that was able to kindle the menorah of every single Jew. The ner, the individual ner of the neshama, ner Hashem nishmas Adam of the neshama. And Chassidus explains, what didn't Moshe Rabbeinu understand? What could Moshe Rabbeinu understand with the menorah was so hard? Like we said, there were harder things in the Beis Hamikdash to build. They wove, remember, we saw they wove the goat skin while it was still on the goat.
Yeah.
I mean, there was unbelievable craftsmanship then. So what didn't Moshe understand? What one of the things Siddhas explains, Meisha Rabbeinu didn't understand, is how is it possible that one person could kindle so many different menorahs, so many different levels of Jews? So Hashem showed him a menorah fire, and the menorah was made out of one piece. In other words, what did Hashem tell Meisha Rabbeinu? What's the concept of the menorah? The concept of the menorah was, granted, there's seven different ways of serving God, but it all comes in the same piece. It's all the same block of gold. Every Jew in the source is the same. The only way, the difference between one Jew and another Jew is the way they're beat out. Meaning the way they come out, and like we said last time, the way the neshama comes into the world. So over there you'll have a difference between one level of a Jew and another level of a Jew. But the essence of the Jew, the neshama, the pintaliyid of the Jew, that every Jew is the same. And because it's beat out, it's not a problem. It's possible to kindle the menorah. And this concept, by the way, explains another basic question. In Parshas Baleischa, when the Torah also tells Aaron about kindling the menorah, the Torah says a funny thing. The beginning of Parshas Baleischa, on page 774, if you just want to look, it's a very interesting thing. It says, in Pasuk Gimel, okay, in page 774, it says, speak to Aaron, tell him to kindle the menorah. It says, Vayas Kein Aaron. In Pasuk Gimel, it says, Aaron did it. Aaron kindled the menorah. So Rashi says, what is the Pasuk telling us that Aaron did it? So Rashi says, Lahagit Shvachish Shel Aaron, to tell us the praise of Aaron, that he did exactly the way Hashem told him to do. Meaning, he lit the menorah, he did exactly like Hashem told him to do. And this is, Rashi says, the praise of, from the Medrash. This was the praise of Aaron, that Aaron was so great that he did exactly what God told him to do. Now, you know what? Every single woman benches licht on Friday evening, and they do it right. What was the kindling of the menorah already? He took a match. He didn't take a match. They lit the fire from the Mizbeach, whatever, but from the Ner Maravi. Okay? They lit it from the Ner Maravi, he said, the middle one, miraculously burnt until they had to light the next night. Why don't you tell me what's so hard about taking a candle and lighting? And by the way, you know how he lit the menorah? It was also interesting. How did he light, if the menorah was one piece, how did he light the flames? So the Ner Maravi was always lit, and he took the wick. There were long wicks. He took the wick from the first candle and pulled it over to the Ner Maravi, lit it, and then put it back down. Second one.
So long?
They were very long. You know where the wicks came from? The Gemara says the Kayanim used to wear linen long robes and linen pants. When the pants got ruined, they used to cut them up. They used to cut it up. And that's what they made the wicks from. For the menorah.
Linen.
Now, the menorah, they had a leg, a certain amount of oil that they lit the menorah with. That was the amount of oil they put in every night. Now, the halacha was, you had to put in the same amount of oil every night into the menorah. Now, the question is, you have a summer night and you have a winter night. Summer nights are shorter. Winter nights are longer. So, l'cheira, how can you put the same amount of oil winter and summer? So, the Gemara explains that the oil was the same. Winter, that it had to burn longer, they made thinner wicks. Summer, that it had to burn shorter, they made thicker wicks. But it was always the same amount of oil every day. So how did he kindle the menorah? With the tongs, he pulled up the wick, lit it, okay, and put it back. And every night, the din was, every night, they had to use new wicks. In fact, there are many opinions in halacha say Chanukah, you have to use new wicks every night. Why? Because that's what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they use new wicks every night. Some opinions by Chanukah say, no, on the contrary, old wicks burn better than new wicks, so you can use older wicks. But in the Beis HaMikdash, every night they had new wicks, and he lit it like that. But the question is still, what's so hard about doing it? Especially you get practice three times, every yukel can light a candle. What's the big deal? What's the pasuk saying? La'aget shvachah shel Aaron shleishina, to tell us that Aaron didn't was so great that he did exactly what Hashem told him to do. And he didn't change. The question is, come on, what's so great about that? The answer is, Aaron HaKohen, for me and you to take a match and light a candle is no big deal. Aaron HaKohen understood what he was doing. Aaron HaKohen understood that when he's kindling the menorah, he's kindling the menorah of every single type of a Jew. And the kavanah that he had, you know, it says his greatness was that even though he was such a great person, and he knew what he was accomplishing, and he understood the way he's kindling the neshama of every single Jew, and with all the spiritual kavanah that he had when he kindled the menorah, he still did the physical act right. That's a big praise. Because sometimes you get carried away with the spirituality of it, you forget to do the simple act of lighting the menorah. So the pasuk says, with all his kavanah, he was still able to do it in a simple way also. That he actually lit the menorah. What Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand was the fact that how can one person kindle the menorah of every single Jew when so many Jews are so different? So there's a lot more to talk. You have, for instance, the beginning of the Parshas Tetzaveh, in the next Parsha that we'll get to one day, or one year. Over there it speaks, V'yikhu elecho shemen zayizach, you know, you have to light the oil, bring the oil to Mesha. So the question is, why are you bringing the oil to Mesha if Aaron led the Menorah? What does Mesha Ben need the oil for? The Pasuk says, bring the oil to Mesha. Why do you need the oil to Mesha? The Aaron and Kain has to light the Menorah, not Mesha. Because through Moshe Rabbeinu, all of this concept of kindling the neshama of every Jew had to go through Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was the head, like we said, Rabbi is Rosh B'nai Yisrael, because Moshe Rabbeinu, so he had the koyach to give the oil to Aaron, that Aaron should have the ability to kindle the menorah of every single Jew.
So he should have understood it first, beforehand. Since he was not?
Yeah, but that's after Hashem explained it to him. After Hashem explained to him how it works, that all Jews are really come from the same place, and every Jew has a fire. Why did Hashem show him a fiery menorah? You want to show somebody a menorah, God could have miraculously made a metal menorah, and say, you see, this is the way to do it. Fiery menorah is very hard to copy. Think about it. It says in the Medrash, Hashem showed the menorah shalesh. What's he showing Menorah Shalesh for? The answer is Hashem showing him the Menorah, the fire, the neshama, the fire of every Jew. And that's what has to be kindled. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says, I don't understand, how can you kindle the... So Hashem says Menorah Shalesh, every Jew, no matter who the Jew is, the lowest Jew, has this fire within them that's able to kindle the Menorah. The Aaron HaKohen is lighting the Menorah. So that's the reason why the menorah was one of the most important concepts in the Beis HaMikdash, because that was actually the aveda of kindling the menorah of every single, the neshama of every single Jew. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu understood the Aron, he understood the Shulchan, he understood the Arias, he understood everything. The menorah was the only keli of the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't understand. Because that represents a much deeper level. Of Ur, of Torah, and their mitzvah of Torah.
What?
When did
they light the menorah?
Every evening. Me'erev HaBeker, from evening to morning. It burnt. So every night, before nightfall, before sundown, Aaron HaKohen lit the menorah, and it burnt for the whole night. The middle one, we said, miraculously burnt the whole day. And then when they needed to relight, they kindled the others from that, and they rekindled that one. But coming back to, by the way, what you mentioned before, this is the advantage of Chanukah over the candles of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. When the Nesiim brought the Korbanos to dedicate the Mishkan, so the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Nasi, beginning of Parshas Baloyscha, Rashi quotes that Chol Shadaita Shalaren. Aaron felt bad. Every tribe brought Karbanis to dedicate the Mishkan, and Levi was out of the picture. So Hashem said to Aaron, don't worry, what you're doing is greater than theirs. So the Medrash says, what does it mean? That by Aaron, it says, Aneda salolu einam betelim la'ilam. The lights will never stop. Kabbanis, God said, Kabbanis that they brought is going to stop. No Beis HaMikdash is going to stop. Your menorah, God said to Aaron, is going to burn always, forever. So the question is, what do you mean? No Beis HaMikdash, no Menorah. So obviously, what God is telling Aaron, okay, you're going to have Hanukkah. Because when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we still have Hanukkah. So Hashem said, Hanukkah represents the Menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, right? So therefore he says, that is forever. That will never stop. Because from the time, because Hanukkah was in the middle of the second Beis HaMikdash, they already started lighting Hanukkah candles. And it goes through the time of Golos. But Hanukkah, in a certain respect, is even greater than the candles of the Beis HaMikdash. I know it's late, we're going to stop in 2 minutes. The candles of the Beis HaMikdash were 7. Hanukkah is 8. Mm-hmm. So why 8? So 8 days, yeah? But really, No, but really you could do something else. Light 7 candles for 8 days. Why 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? If we want to celebrate the miracle of Hanukkah for 8 days, the Beis HaMikdash had 7 candles, yeah? So every night would make sense to light 7 candles the first night, 7 candles the second night, 7 candles. For 8 days, we should light 7 candles. We don't do that. Hanukkah is 8 candles. The difference between 7 and 8, we learned many times, 7 represents nature. Time is 7. 7 days in a week. Sunday is not the 8th day. Sunday is the first day of the new week. Time is divisible by 7. So 7 represents nature. 8 represents the supernatural. So Hanukkah, in this respect, illuminates even the darkness of Golus that the candles in the Beis HaMikdash didn't have. Because when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Jews go into Golus, there's no Beis HaMikdash Menorah anymore. Because the Beis HaMikdash's Menorah is only 7, it only had the ability to illuminate nature. No darkness. The Menorah of Hanukkah, which is 8, is even greater than the Beis HaMikdash, Kabbalah and Chassidus says, and that's why it's 8, and therefore it can even illuminate the darkness. And therefore in the Beis HaMikdash, they lit the Menorah inside the Beis HaMikdash, and Hanukkah you light in the street. Because Hanukkah can illuminate the street, and the Beis HaMikdash can't.
It's not necessarily for the replica of the...
What?
Not necessarily because of to replicate them.
No.